Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It is Anita from She and Her, and I am happy to be here to introduce our new episode. So in our first one of the season, we told you all that we have been thinking a lot about the things in our lives that bring us joy, and we are going to continue exploring that theme throughout this season, and we do so today in an episode that we actually recorded late this summer. We sat down with a 17-year-old from Durham. Her name is Eden. She goes to the North Carolina School of Science and Math. And she is a badass. She's so inspiring, and she gave us a lot to think about. A couple of things that you all should know before you meet her. She is 17, as I said, but she has already written her own screenplay. She has read many more classic novels than both Sandra and I combined. She brought some excerpts of Angela Davis into the studio to help articulate her personal definition of feminism. And she has an energy and curiosity about the world that was a much needed boost for both of us and hopefully will be for you all as well. Needless to say, the world is going to be just fine with a few more people like Eden in it. So without further ado, here is our conversation with Eden.
So Eden, Anita and I both know you through your mother because we both have had some sort of working relationship with her. She's a folklorist and she's been a teacher of mine. Anita's had her on her daily talk show that she produces, and she's a great storyteller and she loves to tell stories about you. And one of the first stories I remember her talking with you about, I think it was on the state of things, Anita's show, was a story about you wanting to read Gone with the Wind. Will you tell us that story?
Yes. I believe I was in sixth grade and we had a project where we got to pick a classics book to read, and I was very into books, I guess, autodidact, that's the word, yeah. I read everything, and I wanted to pick the biggest one, so I picked Gone with the Wind, and I went to her and I asked, I didn't know anything about the book, I just knew it was the thickest one in the pile, and I said, please, can I read this? And she looked at me and she said, only if you read Roots. And I didn't know what that was either, but she had it in the house and she showed me. And I think her intent was to sort of defer me from reading it because Roots was also like very, very large. And I was like, sure, why not? So I ended up reading both, and that kind of started my stint into classical books. And I read like Anna Karenina and Les Mis like in middle school, and I really loved the classics at that time. So,
well, Eden, I still need to read some of the ones you just listed. So bravo to you. Well, will you tell us a little bit about your family and what stories and notions of what being a woman was and feminism were that you grew up immersed in?
Right. So my dad is from Ghana, West Africa, and my mom's from South Carolina. And I really grew up in a very centered and grounded community, grounded in beliefs around feminism, and just like comfort and space and creating safe spaces all around. And so I think growing up, I kind of thought it was a given to always, you know, be in spaces like that. So yeah, I had a very comforting upbringing, mm-hmm. especially around the notion of feminism. And I remember like around the 2008 election, my mom was telling me that I wasn't allowed to vote because I was 6 years old. And I told her that was discrimination against young people. And so that started a whole bout of political interests in me, and we did a whole thing with the election, and I got to pick my own candidate and do the little like fake kid voting thing and do research and call people on the phone, and so I had a lot of fun with that.
So you've always been politically curious.
Definitely.
When do you remember, do you have any like early memories of self-awareness of being a curious person or a curious kid?
I think definitely like from my earliest memory, I went to a Montessori school for preschool, and so it was all about hands-on, and we made like stone soup, and we did lots of things. We ate mint from the garden, and so I definitely was raised in like a very hands-on way. And I remember, you know, one time, this is sort of embarrassing, but I'm going to tell it anyway. We were walking home. I went to Ikepo for kindergarten, and we were walking home from school because we lived near 9th Street, and I saw a dead frog on the ground, and I said, I want to pee on that frog. I was like, you know, I wonder what would happen if I just peed on the frog. So I've just been curious about, you know, wide range. I did not do it. My mom was like, let's go to therapy. So I didn't get a chance to really, yeah. But I've always been very, very curious. My mom said I used to just say why over and over again. I'd be like, why is this? And she would explain. I'd say, but why? And so that's always been a thing.
Yeah. What was the first time you remember identifying as like a young woman or a young, like having a sense of like this is an identity marker that I am or relate to?
Right. I think it's very interesting, like exploring the intersections between Black and woman. For me personally, I definitely noticed my place in the world as a Black person before as a woman. And I think I sort of like attributed all of my experiences to being Black. But in terms of like being female, I definitely attributed that more to my attraction to men, and I wasn't like, oh, like, yes, let's get married. I kind of based that off of wanting to be validated, sort of. So I know, like, up until middle school, I always had a crush for every day of the week. And I was really, really interested in receiving that type of validation.
What did you do to get that? We had a conversation earlier this week where you talked about how you noticed yourself behaving in particular ways when you had those crushes. So
right,
were you?
Definitely. I think my earliest one, I was 4, also in preschool, and there was this boy I liked. And I was writing a college essay about this the other day, and while I was writing it, I realized that he was the same boy that had like made a mean comment about my hair that day. And usually I probably wouldn't have taken that in a certain way, but that day my dad that weekend had like braided my hair in like a Ghanaian, traditional Ghanaian style. And so I was a little bit nervous because at 4 I kind of already knew that this was different than what other kids probably were wearing their hair. And so I was asking everyone like, do you like my hair? And I think he was the only one that said no. And later on, that became my goal. I was going to win him over. So I was a little sneaky as a kid. And I think we were playing, and I told him we had to play Cinderella. And by the end, I was like, well, in the movie, they kiss. So obviously, like,
that's gotta happen.
And I ended up getting an ear infection because he also had an ear infection. So I guess I learned my lesson with that one. But yeah.
So smart.
So growing up in the household that you grew up in, you said it, you described it as very comforting and very open. What did that look like on a daily basis? Did it mean that you and your mom were really close and always sharing stories?
Right. I think especially when I was young, like 5 to 6, we always had people from the community in our house, or we'd go to other people's houses, and it was very, it was a lot of always women. I did not have a lot of men in like my early life. And so I think that to me, that was sort of the default. And sort of like the importance of choice, like even because I was like very young, they still like encouraged me to talk about how I was feeling, what I thought about certain things. And I was definitely very outspoken as a child.
Well, and we've talked about this before on the show, but I didn't really grow up with the language of feminism per se. I grew up in a very pro-women household. And I wonder if that was different for you, and when you started cultivating your own definition of what feminism meant to you in your life.
Right. I think even though I was in a household that was really open about defining that sort of thing, I didn't really come to that realization to like maybe middle school, when I was also coming to the same realization about other systems of oppression and how they intersect, and that's what really kind of like jumped the gun for me in defining those sorts of things.
How did you come to that point of recognizing those bigger systems in middle school?
Right. So in eighth grade, I moved back to Durham, and I started getting into the organizing community in Durham. And I started getting, you know, a better vocabulary to talk about these things, and I started reading more books. This summer, I read Angela Davis's The Meaning of Freedom, or some of it, and so that was really helping me, you know, gain that vocabulary and learning how to discuss these very complex topics. And also, because we're still in the South, there's lots of, like, polarization, so mm-hmm. I think I learned how to, you know, become more articulate about these kinds of things, was, like, in arguing with other people.
I see. Sure.
Yeah, so it's interesting, but... Yeah.
Well, you brought some readings with you today that you're going to share with us that sort of elaborate on this definition, your personal definition of feminism. So tell us what you've brought for us.
Yeah. So I just mentioned The Meaning of Freedom. And I think in thinking about feminism and really any system of oppression, it's really important to first think about like the fluidity of it, because our, you know, society and like our bodies are always changing. And they're very fluid. So I think that definition is not stagnant in any way, shape, or form. But one of the most important parts of that definition for me personally is the word freedom, and like freedom in all aspects. And Angela Davis specifically, she defines freedom as like the freedom to earn a livelihood, to live a healthy and full realized life, freedom from violence, sexual freedom, social justice, abolition of all forms of bondage and incarceration, freedom from exploitation, freedom from movement, freedom of movement. So I think it's really important to think in the broadest terms possible. Yeah.
Thank you.
And did that resonate with you right from the beginning when you read it?
Definitely. I highlighted it instantly. Yeah.
And in terms of learning the language, I mean, I feel like my first women's studies class, I was, what was I, like 18 or 19? And the concepts really resonated and the language resonated, but I didn't feel fluid in talking about it myself until a later point, when I feel like I had, you know, studied more and read more. But it seems like for you it came very naturally. Why do you think that is, or how would you describe how that felt?
Right. I think when I'm reading these texts, there's just something like within me that is just like, yes, you know. And also like realizing that you're never going to, you know, be perfect if there is that standard in any way of how you explain, because it's more about like how you feel and like what you know is right. And I think the beauty of that is you get to exchange with other people, and other people that also, you know, realize that there is no like perfect standard for feminism or like explaining your own experience, because like no one can really deny that.
Yes, definitely. Well, and earlier you said that your identity as African American was the thing you noticed most that made you different. But I wonder how that changed for you as you, what things were happening to you that then made you notice what, you know, oh, this might be happening to me because I'm female.
Right. I think I definitely noticed in terms of like development, I was really interested in the like human, the female body especially. Mm-hmm. And all my dolls, when I first got dolls, I used to always like strip them naked and see how detailed it was, like the manufacturing. And so I was really interested in that. And I had a book describing like the progression of the female body and how it developed. And I used to read it over and over again. And so I was really interested in my own development, you know, like, what does it mean to be a woman? Like, when I get breasts, like, am I a woman now? Mm-hmm. You know, like... And also, I remember when I first got my, like, first armpit hair, I was even, like, very excited. I was like, yes, puberty. Like, I don't know. I think especially, like, mostly being friends with females in elementary school, that's something that we always would talk about. And it's either boys or, like, our physical development, which I think really says something about how, like, what we were taught about what it means to be a woman.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you always feel, one thing we talk about a lot in this show is how our relationship with our body has changed over time. And the first, very first episode was named after a quote from Sandra's mom where she just said, "Wear the damn bikini." And we've talked a lot about, you know, how do you get comfortable in your own skin and with the shape of your body? And I feel like looking back, I don't think I really had much awareness of it until almost late high school, early college. Like, that was the first time I feel like I hit puberty kind of late and my body, like, didn't really change until much later. I wonder, for you, as someone who, say, hit puberty earlier, how your relationship with your body has evolved and how you feel about it now at this point.
Right. I think body positivity for me has definitely, that's something that I've more recently been delving into. And I think, as an adolescent, I didn't really think about it that much, other than, like, okay, I have breasts now, like, I'm done. And, you know, like, as I grew older, I definitely started gaining weight in, like, different places and starting to, like, compare myself to others more. Like, is my development the same as others? And mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting, like, observing, like, through the years how it changes and how, like, you start looking at other people differently, and definitely the comparison, which can be so, like, detrimental to your mental health. But recently I've definitely been, you know, having more conversations with my peers when they say, like, oh, like, she's gotten better, which to them is like she's gotten skinnier, you know, like equating those two. So I think, you know, trying to, in my own mind, like, training myself to think of things in different ways, because a lot of it is really, you don't think about it, you know.
It just is how we're socialized.
Exactly.
Which is terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you have some awareness about that, because that, again, like Anita was saying, well, I knew how I felt about my body, and I knew I was constantly comparing it to people when I was growing up. But it has taken, you know, I'm almost 30, and I'm just continually working on my awareness and consciousness about it, because those messages of comparison, even with the body positivity movement that we see on social media, that has given so much more voice to people with different body shapes than the, you know, cover girl on Cosmopolitan. Mm-hmm. It still is an ongoing message that we're getting from popular culture.
Do you feel like your internal narrative is one of body positivity, or is it one that you're, like, are you trying to retrain yourself?
I think I'm definitely getting there, and I'm definitely, you know, better than I was probably a couple years ago, but there's always room for improvement. Definitely.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So good to hear.
Yes.
Well, we talk about pop culture a lot on the show, and Anita and I, what year were you born, Eden?
2001.
Okay. So Anita and I, we were with Beyonce from the very beginning when she was on Destiny's Child. And I bring her up because I do think she is one of the biggest influencers in our culture right now. And she recently, within the last few years, has really been wearing that badge of feminism. Like, it's on the stage behind her. She's really embraced that as a label. And I think that's really helped other people, bring other people into the fold and brought people into considering whether they want to identify as that. Do you feel like feminism is something that your peers latch onto as an idea? Like, what is the lay of the land out there among your peers about that?
Yes. It definitely varies depending on, like, what community you're in. And I think it's really interesting you brought up Beyonce, because I remember last year, especially with her like big tour, or a couple years ago, there was lots of like, in my with my generation, there's a lot of conversation whether, you know, she really was, you know, embodying like feminism in all its glory, or whether she was kind of like co-opting off of it. And I had a friend that like wrote an article about it, and so I think it was really interesting conversation. But I think in terms of pop culture, that can really help definitely bring more people into the idea and not kind of like blindly rejecting it, but it also generalizes it in like a way that may be harmful.
Well, Eden, you are a curious person. Who are you taking your cues from these days when it comes to politics, culture, anything of that sort?
Yeah, it's definitely really hard, especially with like the monopolization of like news and information and like this cyber age. But I definitely have been like doing some reading when I have time. I'm reading How We Get Free right now. It's about the Combahee River Collective. And so I've been reading that.
What is that?
I'm not finished with the book yet, so okay. I might mess up. But my understanding so far is that it's a group of Black feminists that have a certain like set of values and kind of define themselves as like deserving of the same type of feminism that is expressed in like the sort of white feminism movement. And so it's really, really interesting, and I'm enjoying it so far. Yeah.
Okay, so you're reading that.
What else? I'm reading some Angela Davis, Octavia Butler. I'm doing some research at school, actually, on Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sower and how that like intersects with Adrienne Marie Moore's Emergent Strategy, which is so good.
I think everyone should read that. We just read Parable of the Sower in my book club. That's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
You're so many years ahead.
Well, so, tell us keep us posted on what you're reading. We'll add it to our book list.
How about social media? How much a part of your life is it? Are there people that you follow that you find to be particularly inspiring or thought-provoking?
I think for me personally, social media is like helpful for interacting with people of my own age. So I only use like Instagram and Snapchat, and I don't really follow any like trailblazers like that I really look up to, other than people that are my own age,
quote unquote, influencers as they call them.
Yes. But I do watch YouTube, but that's more for entertainment. I feel like most of my influencers come from like word of mouth and people in my community and people, you know, that they trust, because I think I don't really trust my own judgment. I'm just looking at a screen and someone else saying that I should trust them.
And what does the YouTube landscape look like, like in terms of getting entertainment there?
Very interesting.
We sound really old. This is embarrassing.
It's a lot of, I don't know, it's very weird, like really weird stuff, like people playing with slime. Or like, I really like the tiny food videos where they're like making like tiny pancakes.
I am obsessed with those. Okay. See, the funny thing is I feel like I only get to YouTube via Facebook.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like I would never start on YouTube. That feels like very foreign territory.
Like, I would not know what to do.
Me neither.
I'd be like Google Music video.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing to look at some of the views, and like I feel like a lot of American youth is spending their time on YouTube because it's like 25 million views on this video.
Yeah.
And like that's a big percentage.
There's a movie, Eighth Grade, out there.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I want to see it so bad.
Me too.
I haven't seen it either, but it's all about vlogs.
Vlogs, yeah.
Which,
those are entertaining.
Foreign concept to me.
Yeah.
Really?
Until an intern that we had 2 summers ago who told us about vlogging, and we now have a friend who's older than us who has told me she wants to be a vlog star. So,
who is that?
Laura.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll go to the YouTube. So I have to go onto YouTube for work sometimes to upload things to my work account. And, you know, you just go to the homepage, and it is a landing page that I'm like, whoa, what is all this?
Yes.
Don't get this at all, but that's cool. So, Eden, what are your ambitions? You are a senior in high school. What is going on with you?
That question is definitely very scary, especially as a senior in high school.
Yes.
But I want to go into college. Right now, I think Barnard is my first choice. I'm visiting it soon so I can reassess, make sure that's still what I want to do. I think I want to major in global health. And I'm really interested in global women's health specifically. So we'll see how I can fit that in.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah. Well, I originally, like when I was 9, I had this idea about sort of integrating the different like modes of like birth practices in the U.S., so like midwifery, obstetrics, and the practices of doulas. And I was really set on that for a long while.
How did you get passionate about that?
There was a movie.
At 9. The business
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
my God. One. You saw that at 9?
I did.
The business of being born?
I think
born.
I was sick one day. And it was
You're
on
amazing.
Netflix.
Okay.
And I fell in love with it. I watched it over and over again. I bought their books.
Ricky Lake, right?
Yes. Anything with midwifery in it, I bought it. And I read a lot about it. So I'm really interested in midwifery and doulas. And I think I still want to be certified as a doula. Because you can be when you're 18,
that.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I don't know. The college thing, it's, like, confusing because you can't, like, mold it to exactly what you want to do. But it's really easy for me to think past that, you know, my ideal.
What else? What is the ideal past that?
Well, I love interior decorating, so I would do that. I would definitely like be doing some kind of research. Research is so fun to me, like sociological research, something like that. I would maybe be writing. I'm really into screenwriting. I have a pilot that works.
Tell us.
What's the premise?
It's called Mole People, and it's sort of dystopian. It's based in the subways. They're empty, the subways of New York, not like with trains in them. And it's about this guy that's like been separated from his mother. He lives directly above him. So like some people live above, like in New York, and some people live in the subways. And she's like a Broadway singer, and he lives underneath one of the stages where she auditions a lot, so he can hear her, but. They never, like, it takes a long time for them to meet face-to-face. And
wow.
So I'm really excited to keep on working on that. But
that is really awesome.
Fun. Yeah. We're sold. You have 2 viewers already.
Yay, thank you.
If you do a crowdfunding for this, it's probably going to be optioned by a major movie company. But if you do, we'll have to share that on She and Her.
Yes, certainly.
We're out of time.
Yeah. Thank you so much for talking with us. We can't wait to follow your career as it evolves.
And for your book recommendations.
Yeah, exactly. Send us those and we will put them out on our Facebook.
Thank you for coming on
the
show.
Thank you so much.
All right, you guys, we're listening to She and Her. If you want to catch the backlog of our episode, you can visit sheandherradio.com. And we are on iTunes and Stitcher at She and Her. And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram there, too.
We are. See you guys soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.